Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of this sermon for this morning? Unfinished Business, based on our gospel reading from Luke 14. Listen again to these words of Jesus. Now great crowds accompanied Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all those who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build, but was not able to finish.' So therefore, whoever of you does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." You'll search in vain for a sermon outline today, because our sermon is a story sermon. And even though I'm telling you this story, listen carefully, because in, with, and under the story is a message of God for each of us today. Again, our title, Unfinished Business. Joseph and his wife, Wendy, walked into the lawyer's office. They felt unsure and uneasy. "Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. Johnson," said the well-dressed woman behind the big oaken desk. "I'm Beatrice Slater, Joseph, your father's lawyer and the executor of his estate. I'm sorry about your father's death. If you'll take your seat, we'll get right to business." As Joseph settled into the firm leather chair, he still couldn't believe that he was here. He looked quickly at his young wife sitting next to him in a chair. She was rubbing her belly with her hand. She was 7 months pregnant, and it really showed. This was supposed to be a happy time, but Joseph thought to himself, "My dad didn't even know about our baby yet." "Mr. Johnson," said the lawyer, "I understand that it's been quite some time since you and your father have spoken." "Yes, ma'am," he said, lowering his head. "It's been almost 2 years." "Well, I must tell you that in that time, your father's situation has changed. And just a month ago, before he died, he rewrote his will." This was no big surprise for Joseph, because he knew his father had fallen on hard times. Several years earlier, mother had died, and his father had taken it very hard and had inherited a number of challenges. Joseph was surprised there was anything left in his dad's estate even to be talking about today. The lawyer continued, "As a part of your father's last wishes, he recorded this video to be played for you before his will is read." Joseph felt puzzled and must have looked puzzled, because the lawyer said to him, "I've seen the video. You have nothing to be concerned about." She turned on the machine. The picture came on with sound, and there on the screen sat a well-groomed man. He seemed calm. Joseph could not remember his father ever looking so good. The man looked right into the camera and said, "Hi, Joseph, and Wendy too, I hope. Since you're watching this, it means that I'm dead. I hope that before you see this, I have reconciled things with both of you. But if not, please accept my apology. I really wanted to make things right. I didn't want to leave any unfinished business between us. First of all, let me tell you, Joseph, that a father couldn't be any prouder of a son. And we're closer than you might think. It's not just because both of us have or become architects. Two peas in a pod, that's what we are." He seemed to choke up a bit, but then he continued, "Joseph, knowing how much you're like me, I want to say that I'm sorry. I'm sorry I made so many mistakes. I'm sorry that now, my son, I see you beginning to make the same mistakes I did. I want to tell you some things about my life so you can learn from them and not make the same mistakes I made. I don't want you to have any unfinished business in your life with Wendy and your future children." Joseph and Wendy looked at each other. This time, Joseph put his hand on Wendy's belly. The video continued. It's hard to know where to begin. I guess I should tell you that my parents, your grandparents, were very religious. They raised me in the church before I can even remember. It was a big part of my childhood. I bet you didn't know that. As a family, we, you and me and your mother, went to church at least once a month. Your mother wanted to go more, but things got in the way. Most Sundays, I'd be out of town on a job. In the winter, we'd be taking you to hockey practice. In the summer, it was time for camping. We didn't try hard to keep you in church. When you went off to university to become an architect, you just pretty much didn't take time for church anymore. I blame myself for that. Now, son, I know your faith hasn't totally disappeared, but I bet Wendy has been probably trying to get you to come to church with her. You should listen to her. Joseph found Wendy's hand and gave it a squeeze, and she squeezed his hand in return. His dad had hit the nail right on the head. Only a couple of days ago, the two of them were discussing this very thing. Neither of them took their eyes off the video screen. Joseph's father continued, "Your mother died 4 years ago. I didn't deal with it very well. She was everything to me. I was lost without her. I fell apart. I hated myself for not being able to do more for her. The money we spent, the things we tried to take care of her illness just didn't help. I was very angry with God and I blamed him. When she died, I went off the deep end. I started gambling. I started gambling to escape the pain, to get some control over my life. Boy, was I wrong. All during this time, people from the old church tried to keep in touch. They tried their best to help me. But at the time, I wanted none of it. I was still angry with God, so I decided to go it alone. Then you and I stopped talking. I hit rock bottom. I even thought about taking my own life. My family was lost to me. I racked up great debts because of my gambling. I was sick. I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. Everything in this life I had put my trust in let me down. There was nothing left for me. At least that's what I thought back then. But then, good old Pastor Marshall showed me otherwise. Joseph's eyebrows raised. Pastor Marshall had handled his mother's funeral. Until that day, Joseph thought he had retired if he hadn't died long ago. Apparently, he was still at the family's old church and had been in touch with his dad. Joseph thought to himself, have Wendy and I been away from church that long? I don't know exactly why the father went on in the video, but one day out of the blue, there was a knock on our front door, and there stood good old Pastor Marshall. He was the one who baptized you, Joseph. Anyway, he said that he hadn't seen me in quite a while and wondered if everything was okay. I told him everything was not okay. I proceeded to tell him how not okay everything is and was. I laid into him pretty hard. Pastor Marshall just sat there calmly and let me yell. He took everything I threw at him, no matter how vulgar or unfair it was. Our first visit lasted almost 4 hours. When he left, I realized something had changed in me. Over the last 9 months, I've had many meetings with good old Pastor Marshall. I'm sure that sometimes he must have gotten pretty tired of my old baggage, but he helped me work through a lot of it. It's the kind of stuff, Joseph, the kind of unfinished business I don't want you to ever have to go through. I guess the real breakthrough came for me when he and I began to work through a passage in the Gospel of St. Luke. I'd like to read the passage for you. As he fumbled to open his Bible and put on his reading glasses, Joseph's father looked up to the video camera with a sheepish grin. Hey, son, I bet you never thought you're going to hear a sermon from your old man. Joseph couldn't help but chuckle. His father began to read. from Luke chapter 14. Now great multitudes accompanied Jesus, and he turned and he said to them, "For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'Ah, this man began to build, but was not able to finish.' So therefore, whoever you does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." When he finished reading, Joseph's father took off his glasses, rubbed his eyes, and began to speak, but this time almost as if he were about to cry. "Son, being an architect," this passage hit me really hard. I'm sure that's why Pastor Marshall chose it. "You see, all along I thought I was a pretty good Christian. Tried to live the best I could. Tried to go to church when I wasn't too busy. Thought there, that's all there was to it. Son, I was wrong. That whole time you were growing up, that whole time mother was sick, there were barriers between me and God the whole time. Never saw it till now. I put so many things in first place in front of God. My family, my work, my toys, making money. In the end, they all let me down one at a time till I had nothing left. Everything I had in life, everything I tried to build was like an unfinished tower, a monument to my own stubbornness and stupidity. My life was like that unfinished tower that Jesus talked about in the parable. My life was unfinished business. No matter how hard I tried, I wasn't going to get it finished either." That's what the Bible's talking about in this passage. By ourselves, we don't have the building materials it takes to get through life and death. Our building supplies have to come from somewhere else. Somewhere else than inside ourselves. Joseph, are you listening, Joseph? They come from Jesus. He is the supplier who will help you build your life into something you can be proud of. He is the master architect. He is what I was missing for so long in my life. I'm so glad I learned it before it was too late, that Jesus, our Savior, gives us all we need to get through the stuff that life throws at us and that we do to ourselves. Joseph, I'm so glad I know now his forgiveness. Joseph, you can find everything you need in his church, in his holy word, in his holy communion. There is where all of us sinners learn of his love for us that sent him to the cross, that rose him from the grave for us. Joseph, I can't tell you how much these things have changed my life in the last few years. I'm a different person. All because now I know that Jesus loves me, that he is my Savior, even after all the stupid things I've done in my life. That's what I wanted to share with you, son, before I go. You don't have to do all the stupid things I did. You don't have to go it alone. Don't let your life be an unfinished tower. Don't leave any unfinished business between you and God. Joseph, you have Jesus with you even right now. He has been faithful to you since those many years long ago when your mother and I held you in our arms and you were baptized by good old Pastor Marshall. Closing his Bible, Joseph's father paused for a moment. "I love you so much, son. I hope you know that. I will be in heaven with mother now, watching and waiting for you. Take care of Wendy, and son, one last thing. Make sure that your children know Jesus." As the image of Joseph's father turned to electronic snow on the screen, Joseph came to realize that Wendy, his wife, was standing behind him with her hand on his shoulders. He didn't even realize when that happened. The lawyer then turned on the room's lights and said, "Now we'll get to the reading of the will." A short time later, Joseph and Wendy walked out of the lawyer's office carrying a small box. After paying back his gambling debts, Joseph's father only had enough money left to pay for his funeral and give a donation to the church. All he had left to leave to Joseph was his old Bible. And inside was a homemade bookmark, the work of a skilled architect. On the front it said, "Consider the cost, then look to Jesus who paid the price." On the back of the bookmark it said, "This is Pastor Marshall's phone number. He's waiting for your call. Love always, Dad." In the name of Jesus, amen.